This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Are you a safe driver or just lucky? In this powerful episode of This Week in America, I talk with Steve Janik, author of How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue, about the real reason behind most accidents and what you can do to avoid becoming a statistic. Drawing from personal experiences, including life-threatening accidents, and years of teaching defensive driving to thousands of students, Steve delivers a wake-up call every driver needs to hear. Whether you're a new driver, a parent, or someone who's been behind the wheel for decades, this conversation could change the way you drive forever. Steve Janik, author of How's My Driving, our guest, next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
What if the most dangerous thing you do every day is something you barely think about? Driving. And according to today's guest, Steve Janik, most drivers aren't nearly as safe as they think they are. In fact, he says the biggest cause of accidents isn't speed or weather, it's distraction, and it's happening constantly. Steve knows this firsthand. After surviving life-threatening accidents and spending years teaching defensive driving to thousands of students, he's made it his mission to change how we think behind the wheel. In his book, How's My Driving?, he lays out a powerful message. You get no do-overs when driving. Today, he's sharing simple but eye-opening strategies that can protect you, your family, and everyone else on the road. If you drive even once a day, you need to hear this conversation. The author of How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue, Steve Janik, is our guest on This Week in America. Steve, welcome to the program. An important message. Great to have you with us on the show today.
Well, thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate being here.
So much to talk about. And let's start with the talking about driving defensively. We hear that a lot, yet it's something we need to really do more frequently. Is there anything we can do to drive defensively on a continuing basis?
Yes. First off, you have to have an appreciation for what can go wrong. Now, a simple look at the news periodically, you can see it happening in airplanes, you can see it happening in cars. Understand that there's a lot of danger associated with moving big pieces of equipment around. And you have to understand that your safety is at stake while you're driving the car. So you're not responsible also for disabling somebody else for the rest of their life, which would be a horrible thing to have to live with. One of the crashes that I was involved in, my wife was 6 months pregnant, and we lost the child to the car crash.
So sorry.
And thank you very much. But it is really one of those things that, they said it wasn't my fault. Okay. And I could explain the whole thing to you. But what does fault mean? It means that you didn't do anything that you didn't do the things that you could have done to have prevented it. And so, like I said, I got to live with the knowledge that we don't have a daughter that we would have had.
It's that kind of message that motivates you as you get behind the wheel. And if people have gone through that or need to think more about people who have gone through that as they get behind the wheel and start driving. In the book, you've got 10 principles that need to be applied to driving safety awareness. Talk about those, how important those are. And again, these are things that we all need to be aware of every time we open the door and get behind the wheel.
Okay, well, I'll just put them in the order that I developed them when I was writing the book. First one is to understand that nobody, and I believe this with all of my heart, nobody gets up in the morning, brushes their teeth, and goes out and decides to drive and be the worst driver on the road. They don't do that. What they should do, though, is go out and try to be the best driver on the road. The second principle is that the person that you ought to be concerned the most about safety is yourself. Because if you keep yourself safe when you're driving around, there's a good possibility that you're not going to hurt anybody else. The third one is understanding that purpose for driving is to get from point A to point B safely. It's not to have a party while you're going from point A to point B. Because sometimes people do that and it's distracted driving and it gets them in trouble. One of the other things is this is kind of interesting. What's obvious to you is not necessarily obvious to me and vice versa. A favorite analogy I like to think of is the cup of water being half full or half empty.
Yes.
And, whether you're a pessimist or an optimist, but that's one of the things that is one of the principles. Understand that crash-free driving helps set me up more easily for crashes. That sounds kind of counterproductive. The reality is that if you go out and you drive around and nothing ever happens, your awareness of what could happen is going to be it's going to be degraded. And one of the things that happened here recently, it's about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, in LaGuardia Airport, there was a jet coming in for a landing, and the tower cleared a fire engine to cross the runway that it was landing on. And the two pilots died, and here's the thing that I imagine in my, when I'm thinking about things like this, I imagine in my mind's eye that the fire engine driver getting ready to pull on an active runway had done it 80,000 times and nothing ever happened. And so then they just pulled out in front of a jet.
Yes.
Because of the speeds that they're traveling in, you can't do anything about it. But safety all the time has to be at the top of your brain. Understand that driving slower than traffic around me may be the reason for an accident. I had a friend of mine who I used to carpool with, and he prided himself on how slowly he drove. And I kept telling him, you're back in traffic.
Yes.
And it would be nothing to have, you know, 10 or 12 cars behind us. And what that does is it incites people into making bad decisions.
Yes.
And so I never was surely 100% able to get him to change his habits, but I tried to talk him into it. The eighth one is understand that stopping properly for a yellow light or orange light, whatever you call it, because the requirements for stopping for a yellow light are identical to the requirements for a red light. There's one caveat, and it says that if you can't do it safely, then you're allowed to go through the yellow light. People take that as, I'm going to stomp on a gas pedal and get through there.
Yes.
And if you make it through there and you get away with it, you can wind up having an accident as a result of it. Understand that discourteous behavior to other drivers is actually selfish thinking. And there's no really good reason why you have to be selfish. We all have one planet. And then finally, understand that if you see someone doing something clearly wrong, and you do everything in your power to feed it back to them. It's not always possible, obviously, because I'm not going to race somebody down and pull them over and try and force feed them into some good information. But in any case, those are the 10 basic premises that I came up with in the book as I was writing it.
Also interesting, and all in Steve's book, how is my driving, why every other driver doesn't seem to have a clue? The book is available wherever books are sold. Steve Jadak is our guest on the program. His last name is spelled D-Z-I-A-D-I-K. So if you're Googling it, you need that. Going to his website is Steve DZIADIK.com. That link is on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. All you have to do is go there, click it, and it'll take you there to get information on Steve and the book as well. As you're talking about that, the fact that maybe you get a little cocky over the years, you haven't had an accident, so you think you're doing everything right. I was in a situation where I was doing everything right, got T-boned by a car that ran a red light, guy had been drinking, and took out the car. And that's changed the way that I've been driving ever since. My wife is often mentioning, you're a whole different driver after that. Going through that, the trauma of being in the car, the sights, the smells, the sounds, all of that. Does that work that way for many people, that once you've been in an accident, you're much more cautious, maybe overly cautious as a driver?
Well, it should make you more cautious because if you think about it, what happened that you didn't see it coming?
Yes.
It should make you more cautious. But the unfortunate part about it is that people, they go, that was close, and then they forget about it. I've been involved in two nearly life-ending crashes. And you would think that the first one, in which we lost a child, and I already told you about that, you would think that that would have changed my attitude for driving forever. And it did. About 9 years later, though, I was driving to work with some friends of mine. We were carpooling at night. And I was talking with a friend of mine in the car. And I looked at him and I looked back and I saw the front end of a Ford Bronco in my lane coming at me head on. And that's the last thing I remember until waking up face down in the middle of the highway.
Wow.
Again, should have died. People don't usually live in head-on collisions. But, you have to be, you have to understand that that those things should change and motivate you to address the whole activity of driving with more caution and care. You literally have to do that, because if you don't do it, then you're doomed to repeat it.
Yeah, when I go through an intersection now, I will slow down if I see another car and make sure they are going to stop and let me go through. It really gets your attention. Let's focus on distractions, and that seems to be at the root of so many of the accidents that we read about. What constitutes distracted driving, and why do people do it, especially when we keep telling them not to do it?
Well, people... people have the tendency to go in and they think that because they can drive. I mean, when they first start driving, I've had a driving school and I trained a lot of teenagers and even people who were older that hadn't driven before. And they were scared to death until they got out on the highway and figured out, hey, you know what? I can do this. But what they have a tendency to do, though, is if they can get away with driving and being distracted, then they'll do it and let it happen more often. It's not that they're doing it on purpose because they don't want to have a crash, but they let themselves drop their guard. I'll give you an example of and this just happened to me about 4 weeks ago. I was coming home from church and I was hungry, so I stopped in McDonald's and I ordered a Big Mac and French fries and a Coke, and I pulled over into the parking space and I was getting ready to eat it. And I don't know why I memorized this, but two all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles on a sesame seed bun.
Yes.
I don't know why. I still remember that. But one of the thing about that sauce is it's on both sides of a middle bun. And when you bite down on it, what it has a tendency to do is lubricate the middle bun and launch it. And I did that. Unfortunately, I had a bag on it in my lap. But I always tell people, don't eat while you're driving, because if you bite down and part of the sandwich goes into your lap, where are your eyes going to go? You know, it's just exactly. Automatic. You're going to look at that. And plus, then you're going to try and fix the problem without stopping. So, you know, it's just they don't know. A lot of times they don't know they shouldn't do it. That's especially true with teenage drivers. There's also a group of people who think that they can actually do it without sacrificing safety. And that's just not true.
Well, they think that until something goes wrong, like the lubricated middle bun, and then all of a sudden they've got a problem and they're trying to deal with it. But when things go right, you probably can handle that to an extent. But when it goes wrong, it really goes sideways quickly, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And there's something called a Coke bottle blind spot. I don't know if you've ever heard of this before.
No.
Let's say that you're driving along and you have a Coke or whatever drink, even a can, and you're driving with one hand on the steering wheel and one hand on the can, and you tip it up.
Yes.
Okay. And when you do that, it blocks your view a little bit, but the more the empty the can gets, the farther up it goes.
Yes.
Until your hand is actually blocking your eyesight. And that's the moment when a kid's going to walk in front of you, or a bicyclist is going to be there, or a car is going to stop suddenly. You know, and it's really, you can't do this stuff without sacrificing safety. And you just need to be aware of it.
More with Steve Janik, author of How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue, after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
I'm in my late 60s. My husband died a few years ago. He did all of our taxes. I sold a piece of property last year, and I forgot to claim the proceeds of the sale. Next thing I know, I got a letter from the IRS telling me that I owe over $50,000. Now I have a huge tax problem. I don't have that kind of money. I wish I knew who to call.
If you sold property in the last calendar year or didn't claim all of your part-time or even retirement income, you could be in big trouble with the IRS. Call first before they send you a letter. If you've already got a letter, call. We'll help you file years of past tax returns and save you time and money. So call the tax doctor. The call is confidential and free.
800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. 800-795-6170. That's 800-795-6170.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone.
We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. 800-264-3150. That's 800-264-3150.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done, frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. 800-715-6093. That's 800-715-6093.
Back to This Week in America and Steve Janik, author of How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue. We don't get a lot of help in some cases from the automotive industry. They give us bigger screens that are going and they say these are basically for the enjoyment of the passengers. Video is now being used where you've got video on the main monitor. How do you deal with that? Because you're tempted to peek away for a few seconds and take a look at the screen, and that's all it takes to lose control.
Well, if I'm the driver, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to be consciously helping people help me stay safe. There's something called riding shotgun. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I always ask the question of my students, what does it mean to ride shotgun? And 100% of them say it means to ride in the front seat next to the driver. And I say, okay, but why do they call it shotgun? And they say, well, I never really thought about it. Well, it comes from the Old West. The mode of transportation that existed before cars was stagecoaches. And stagecoach was drawn by 6 horses. The driver was up on top, and his job was to drive those horses to avoid the really big rocks and holes in the road so that it was as comfortable a ride as possible. But that also, he couldn't do anything as far as providing safety. So if robbers pulled up next to him on horses, he had no option but to do what they said. So what they did is they put another man up there with a shotgun. And the shotgun was there to dissuade people from being involved in trying to steal your goods. Shotgun is a really impressive way to you don't want to have the thing pointed at you, and then if somebody pulls the trigger, you're going to get hit with something. But when people started driving in cars, they naturally, everybody was familiar with the term shotgun, so they called it. And the idea was if you're going to be a shotgun rider, you're going to be there to help keep everybody else safe in the car. But today, it's so far removed that people don't have a clue what riding shotgun means. And I always try to tell them, listen, if you're going to ride shotgun, understand it's your responsibility to provide a safety margin for everybody else in the car, too.
and it's okay to speak up and to assist in any way that you can. The book is How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue. Steve Janik is the author. Book available wherever books are sold. His website is Steve, and that last name is DZIADIK.com. We've got that on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Mentioned several times having people in the car. You talk very emphatically about driving should never be treated as a social activity. How often are distractions the people in the car that we're trying to carry on a conversation with? Unless you're really good at multitasking, when you're talking, it does diminish a little bit the attentiveness that you have behind the wheel.
Well, one of the things you have to recognize is that walking is multitasking. Driving a car is multitasking.
Yes.
So to add stuff to a multitasking environment is to reduce your ability to do any one of the other tasks as effectively as you could. So I always tell everybody, if you've got somebody in the car with you that is trying to get you to look at their phone or whatever, you got to pull over and sit down and talk with them. Listen, do you understand that you're affecting my safety? And help them help you. Otherwise, bad things happen. And I know that from personal experience.
How should the reader consider the use of turn signals, other safety devices on the average car? Talk about, sometimes you think in that the car that was just in front of me, the turn signals must have been an option because he's in and out of traffic and never uses a turn signal. And sometimes maybe do we become too reliant on some of the safety factors in the new cars out there?
Well, I think that the most important safety device on a car is the turn signals, because
yes,
one of the things that we didn't go over, but there's a something called a safe defensive driving recipe that I have and I share in the book, and it stands for it's a 6-letter acronym, and it stands for search, identify, predict, decide, execute, and repeat. And so that in order for you to be able to predict what somebody's going to do, they have to be giving you some kind of indication that they're going to do something. If they're not using their turn signals, then how do you know? You guess. And my guesser doesn't work nearly as good as if somebody's using their turn signals.
Exactly. And as you're driving, if you use those, that's indicating to somebody what you're going to drive and keeping both of you people safe as you go through that maneuver. It's something you address in the book, but we're always concerned about the blind spot. You've got that area where you're never quite sure what's going on there, and you've got just a couple of seconds to make a decision. How can the reader set up the mirrors to eliminate that blind spot, and is that even possible?
Yes, it is. I drive with my mirrors set up all the time, and I don't have a blind spot. And the reason I don't is because I know what I'm doing in setting my mirrors up. And one of the bad things about most people when they first start driving is they see the car behind them, and you can see the whole car. And so as the car comes up and starts to go around you, it starts to leave the rearview mirror, and it starts to enter your side view mirrors, which most often are set up too far in. And then what it does is it clears that side view mirror, and before you see it out of the side of your eye, you've got a blind spot, and that's when crashes happen.
Boy, there's so much valuable information, potentially life-saving information, in Steve's book, How's My Driving? Why Every Other Driver Doesn't Seem to Have a Clue. Book available wherever books are sold. Steve Janik has been our guest on the program. That's DZIADIK. His website, his name, stevedziak.com. You have to remember spelling that because we've got it all spelled out for you on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. You can go there, get information on the book, link directly to Steve's website, and go from there. My thanks to Auctorum House for arranging our conversation today. Empowering authors, crafting excellence, your ideal partner in the journey toward literary success, auctorumhouse.com. You can listen to this broadcast and all of them on 28 different podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and more. Also available Facebook, LinkedIn, and beyond. And be sure to look us up on YouTube.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.